Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everybody. The sound on this week's podcast is not okay. We're sorry about that, but it won't happen again. And the podcast with Megan Mullally is still fabulous and enjoyable. Hope you enjoy it.
Hello, everybody. Hello, I am Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine, coming to you from Glamour's pod cupboard today with one of my all-time favourite comedic actresses, and now she's a singer as well. You know her from Will and Grace and Parks and Recreation, but now she is part of a beautiful, harmonious, melodic duo called Nancy and Beth, and she's touring Britain this week. Hello, Megan Mullally.
Well, shoot, that was quite an intro.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's, you know, looking at your Wikipedia page, we could have been here for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited to be here, and I just, you know, I've been wanting to bring this band to the UK for so long, and now we're here. So.
Your secret band.
Yeah, the secret band.
Sorry, I know that, because you've been together, Nancy and Beth, you and your duet partner, Stephanie Hunt, since 2012?
We met in 2011, and we started playing in 2012, but then we took a convenient three-year break.
Right.
But we did make the record and shoot the cover art during that time. Because of my work schedule, we weren't able to play live anywhere.
You don't want to rush things, you know?
No.
You want to get them right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it did allow the band to completely morph and change, and I love where it's at right now.
So, but why has it taken, I mean, I know that you've always known you can sing, but why are you only telling us now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why haven't you busted out a few tunes on Will and Grace or...
I know. Nobody, it's funny. I've done three Broadway musicals, but nobody really knows that I sing. And
you just don't like to tell anyone?
People in New York know, you know, Broadway fans and that kind of thing. But yeah, people know me from Will and Grace primarily and Parks and Rec. And they don't think of me as being a singer, but actually I sang and was very attracted to music before I ever thought about acting.
Yeah.
So.
And you're one of those triple threats because part of the whole Nancy and Beth thing is it's actually rather theatrical, isn't it? There's lots of choreography.
Yes.
I'm really excited to see it.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's a real crowd pleaser because Stephanie Hunt and I, and she's 30 years younger than I, so that's kind of intriguing just from the switch. We sing in close harmony and our voices blend really well. And I choreograph every single song from beginning to end, and we do all these covers of songs from every genre and era, and it's turned out to be so celebratory and joyous, and it's kind of like punk vaudeville, basically.
Punk vaudeville with a bit of, you know, traditional misogynist rap thrown in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Not exactly a feminist anthem. We do this Gucci Mane song called I Don't Love Her, and it's pretty wrong.
Yeah, but you can rap as well.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, but I love that track on the record because when we do this song live, everybody always loves it. But on the record, Stephanie and I threw in all these like improvised asides that are mixed into the track, and it's very funny.
But I love just the comment of that, you know, sort of like doing a rap song that's talking about putting things in all sorts of orifices, and you know, but I don't love her.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that song done by women really, really highlights the wrongness of it all in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it was, the song was not written by Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
And there's something about just the by virtue of the fact that it's being sung by the two of us, really makes you stop and think.
So, and you're going to be at the Royal Festival Hall on Thursday the 20th.
Thursday, yeah.
Somewhere, Mel Publicist Manchester.
The Palace Theatre.
The Palace Theatre on Saturday the 22nd. What can people expect?
Well, there's a showbiz exclamation point element that's been thrown. It's kind of like if Andy Kaufman had a show in Vegas. You know, there's something off about it, but it's also completely... it's a spectacle. So we have a headset mics, which set us free to do as much choreography and roaming of the stage as we wanted to do. And then it is a band. So we don't have anything planned to say in between songs. It just happens. And Stephanie is funny also. So it's quite entertaining. And then there are a few songs that, you'll want to break out your handkerchiefs for, but it's mostly pretty funny and fun, and not a comedy band at all, but every song is completely choreographed from top to bottom. So and I do all the choreography, so the main thing is picking the right songs that we freak out over, and then I will get an idea somewhere in some corner of my mind about how to choreograph it, and then we do that, and a lot of the choreography is very witty, and then you just you put all those together. We have costumes and you put that all together. And yet the band is like these really incredible funky players from Austin. So it's quite a mix.
And so you've got all that sort of like that theater and irreverence loaded over it, but not forgetting, I mean, I've listened to the album a lot now, just called Nancy and Beth, and the voices are incredible. So it's like you say you're 30 years apart, but like you were meant to meet. The harmonies work so well.
It's unbelievable. I'm the dummy that sings the melodies because Stephanie is a harmony savant, and there are times when, even when I hear recordings where I'm not exactly sure, even though I know I'm singing the melody, but a lot of the time at live shows, people come to us afterwards and say, I couldn't tell who was singing what, because our voices are just completely, in tandem with each other.
And now I've read a lot about, a lot of people do talk about the age difference. Is that something that you find adds different elements to it, or is it just actually remarkably not a thing?
It's remarkably not a thing for us, but I think it's something that as an audience member or as a listener, that it's intriguing. And that's why we did the cover art that we did for the record, because, at the end of the day, we're just two humans on the planet. And it's more about the dynamic between us is very natural, and we have just this great rapport with each other, and we make each other laugh, and we have as much of a psychic connection as you could have with another person if you believe in that kind of thing. In terms of working together, it's just so fluid. So I think that it's an interesting element. You look at us and you think, I wonder what that's all about.
But you've mentioned the album cover when you and Stephanie are sort of like, you basically look like lab specimens. You are naked, but it's in that sort of like that really anthropological study in a way.
Yeah, we wanted it to be so as neutral as possible.
Yeah, but you have got just as rocking a bod as the girl 30 years younger. So what's that all about?
What can I say, Joe? a lot of choreography in the show. We've made a couple of music videos, and we're going to make a video called Get in Shape with Nancy and Beth, because honestly, Stephanie said at the end of this tour, we're either going to be dead or ripped. And
I said maybe both.
We'll just be dead, but we'll look, amazing.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, at this stage.
Cute in your coffin.
So where the hell, you and I are here in the Glamour Pod Cupboard, and listeners, it's actually Easter Sunday. We are working on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Where's your partner in crime? What the hell is she doing?
She is in Stockholm visiting her best friend and probably like frolicking in the grasses.
Well, that's just a terrible excuse.
I know. Bread and cheese.
Have you managed to have a nice Easter?
Yeah, it's been interesting and fun. And I can't believe that you came here on Easter Sunday to do this.
Wow, I mean,
so
I've,
incredible.
I have had a pretty chilled eat. Do you know what I did this morning, though? I made myself a cup of tea. And I think this speaks volumes about the weekend we've had. As I absentmindedly picked out of the fridge, instead of the milk, a bottle of wine, and nearly poured the wine into the tea.
Okay.
And stopped myself. It just sort of like, oh yeah, no, that's the wrong thing. But I've never tried that.
Maybe it's great, but
yeah,
it doesn't
that's the
seem
thing.
Like it would be.
We don't know, do we? I might have reinvented the English
just,
tradition.
You may have just made yourself $1 billion, lady.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah. Certainly not going to happen in magazines, so that's my next stop. So tell us, I know you're probably sick to the back gills of talking about this, but everybody is so excited about Will and Grace.
Yeah, well, I'm
what's going on?
Okay, so all I know is we start at the beginning of August, we start shooting, and we were going to do 10 episodes, and then NBC bumped it up to 12 already.
I love you, NBC.
And, right? Yeah. And then it starts airing in the States end of September, and everybody's really excited. It just came together very organically. I mean, the fact that every one of us immediately wanted... First, we did that election video that came out.
Well, I want to talk to you about that. I just couldn't believe how funny it was. And I couldn't believe how it was just like Will and Grace had never gone away. It
That's
was brilliant.
That's how it feels.
Yeah.
I would say that the craziest thing about this entire experience has been that it doesn't feel crazy. It feels totally normal, like we just went away for the weekend.
And you all look exactly the same.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but thank you. And it's just, you know, I think those characters are so well written that the dynamic, you know, you can put those characters in so many different permutations, and there's so much, you know, rich soil there. So they're, you know, the writers have been writing for about a month, and I'm just, I have no idea what they're doing. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm very excited that Karen Walker is really, really good friends with Donald and Melania, as we learned from the election.
Donnie, sorry. She helped him pick out Melania.
Oh, well played, well chosen there, Karen. But I really hope that means we're going to get lots of cathartic Donald Trump bashing.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, I know that the first goal of the writers is to make the show funny, because that was always the order of the day. And this show, but then at the same time, the show is always very topical. And, you know, the elephant in the room has burst out of the room, out of the building, and straddling the earth right now. So there's no way to avoid it.
Is it okay, Megan, to wear what the hell you want whenever you want?
Absolutely.
Really? Would you really do that?
Yeah. I mean, I would. I do. I don't really care. I enjoy fashion in the sense that it's a form of creative expression. I'm not necessarily great at it or anything like that.
Oh, but come on. You're rocking the hell out of those Dries trousers today.
Thank you. Well, that's very sweet of you. But I don't, you know, I feel like the whole like red carpet thing has gone a little out of control. I feel like if, you know, actors, actresses should be able to kind of wear what they want to wear for award shows and talk shows and those kinds of things, and not be so overly styled and, you know, fashioned out, because then everybody sort of ends up looking like each other. Like, I loved when Bjork wore the swan dress to the Golden Globes.
I know exactly what you mean, but then who wants to be the actress who gets pilloried for that? You know, that's the thing.
I know. And it's vicious. It really is vicious. So I think everybody should lay off and let people. Years ago, Janine Garofalo, I remember, wore cutoffs and a t-shirt to some award show, and I thought that was just the greatest.
What's your experience of all of that? Have you ever had sort of like really low moments on the red carpet where you've been attacked, but you always look great?
I only had one time, and it was a good dress. It was like a, I don't know, Valentino. It was a good one, but people didn't like it, and I had just cut my hair off really short, and you know, I don't know. I don't always use a stylist. I sometimes do it myself, but that was the one time that people weren't having me.
See, I always feel really bad when I watch things like the Oscars, and I know there's that whole ask her more hashtag movement now. But I kind of, the main reason I watch the Oscars is to look at the outfits. Mm-hmm. And you're not really supposed to admit that, but that is.
I know.
So I want to know what you're wearing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's your business. And I mean, that's literally your business, your line of work. And I enjoy it too. And there are, you know, women who I think look, you know, more fashionable and sort of cuter than other women. But at the same time, I feel like you should be able to take chances and not have to worry about playing it safe or playing it by the book or having to hire like a certain stylist that costs $1 jillion.
Yeah.
You know, it's very expensive.
What about sort of, I suppose I'm thinking about this broadly as well, where we did a piece in the magazine recently where Marissa Bate, a writer, talked about how when she was in her 20s, she really thought that it shouldn't matter what she looked like. It should not matter. She should be able to turn up to a job interview or a bank manager meeting, whatever, in cutoffs and a T-shirt if she wants, and that should be fine. And then it was a revelation to her that actually she was hurting her own prospects in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you've probably never worked in an office, have you?
No.
So have you got any perspective on that?
Yeah, no. But
okay,
but I mean, thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Not in that sense, but you know, even just getting dressed for day-to-day life, you know, I feel like once I hit 50, it was very freeing because I was like, I don't care. Like, I really don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I'm just going to wear what I want to wear and feel the way I want to feel. And that has been very freeing because nobody was expecting me to be like the cute young one anymore. I don't have that burden has been lifted. So I think it's nice to experiment. My mom was very Nancy Reagan in her style. And I never liked that. I always I was going to vintage stores when I was in like ninth grade, the one vintage store in Oklahoma City. And I've always felt like I would gravitate toward a little bit less buttoned up feel.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I like. Yeah.
But you clearly love fashion as well. You're wearing some, what animals are they on your trousers?
Let's go with cougar maybe, or leopard.
Yeah. Amazing. Sort of like animal print trouser and a real sort of like a western-y fringed black shirt.
It's Watanabe.
It's what?
It's Watanabe.
It's Yunya. I don't even know how to say it. That's how I'm a failure as a magazine editor. Yunya. Junya Watanabe. I don't know. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
You did it.
Yeah. See, that's why I'm not the editor of Vogue. Yeah. Just glamour. Yeah. No, but you look amazing and you clearly know your labels and love your labels. So
mix it with vintage. I mean, I do love, like, especially when we have any layover time in any, you know, nice little American towns. I try to hit the vintage stores, especially for T-shirts but anything really. I mean, you never know what you're going to find. But there's really high end vintage shop in Los Angeles called Catwalk that I love. It's very expensive. I mean, you might as well go to, you know, Valentino or something. But it's they've got great stuff there.
Are you one of those people that gets the store shut for you?
Well, no, but recently I went to Catwalk, and it's these two women who run it, and they're, you know, a couple, and we stayed there until, I didn't get there till 7, and we stayed there till, I think, almost midnight.
Well, so you literally went through every piece of vintage.
They keep bringing stuff out. They've got this big back room, and they keep coming out with all more and more. It's just, you know, it turns into a marathon.
See, I don't have the patience for vintage. I'm terrible at it. I need to go with somebody who, and I can't see the possibility of clothes. I think a lot of vintage clothes as well. I think you've got to be really, really young to get away with the irony of them.
Well, I'm more into, like, I don't know, 80s, 90s, you know. I'm not going with anything, not, you know, rocking a 20s flapper dress or anything like that.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe.
There's always time.
Yeah, we can get incorporated that into the stage show.
Exactly.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is it okay to work on your mind more than your body?
I think you should. I mean, boy, I mean, I'd rather be, I mean, reading is my favorite thing to do. And it's the most, you know, boring, passive activity. But
what are you reading at the moment?
I am reading a book by Deborah Levy called Hot Milk. That's interesting. I just read Zero K by Don DeLillo, which I enjoyed. Mm. And then Lincoln and the Bardo is a masterpiece. That's George Saunders' novel. But yeah, I read a lot. I read approximately five, mostly novels a month, sometimes wow. Nonfiction. But yeah, I like that. And, you know, there's this whole culture of the gym body and all of that. And I think that's nice. I take Pilates. I love it. And I think it's really important, obviously, to keep in shape. But it's not really my life. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes the people that I know who spend more time in the gym than they do watching interesting films or reading books or any number of things or looking at art are maybe not as interesting to talk to.
It's probably more of a problem in LA running across people who are obsessed with looking after their bodies than it is in London.
It's a cultural thing, yeah.
We like, you know, we like the yellow in eggs and we like booze. Yeah. And I just don't know if that's the same in LA.
No, it's not. It's different.
But I have to say, and this is like, it's awful because you have to be very careful when you're a magazine editor, when you talk about this sort of stuff. But I do feel like in particularly in Britain, there's a real cultural thing where it's almost a shameful thing to be seen to want to look after your body, to be seen to want to look after the way you look and how you feel. So I think that that's where I think in England, you've everyone say, of course, your mind's more important. But I'm not saying it's not, but I don't know. I just feel like while I can, I'm so grateful if I can go for a run or mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And, you know, this is a walking city too. But, you know, my husband and I love London so much. We keep trying to devise a way to live here half the year. But I just think it's such a colorful city and such a fashionable city. I love the way people dress here. I think people always talk about New York being a fashion city. And I always think,
it's too cold. People just wearing big black coats most of the year.
Yeah, I never, ever think of New York as a fashion city. Like, I never see people there and think, oh, amazing. And I'll just be walking down a random road in London, and I think everybody looks fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more experimental here. I noticed that when I go to LA, I get the comment all the time. And James, who I sometimes do the podcast with here, we travel to LA for meetings, and people always tell us we look cute because we're wearing color, or we've actually, do you know what I mean? It's like people are like, look at you all sunny in your yellow trousers. It's like, sorry, people get really a bit freaked out about it. So I think we're quite experimental in that way.
I love it. I love the color here.
Now, your husband is Nick Offerman, and he's here with you in London at the moment, and he's part of the troupe. Is he part of your?
He's our roadie.
What does that entail? Well, he's lovely and big and burly, so that helps.
Yeah, he always refers to himself as the donkey. But no, he actually makes he in London. He'll be making a secret surprise appearance when you least expect it.
Oh, that's so exciting!
Yeah,
because you do enjoy working together, don't you? I think my husband and I would kill each other if we've worked together.
I know people say that all the time. Like, I could never work with my wife or my husband that much, but we work together all the time. It's kind of crazy. We just really enjoy it. I think because we met doing a play together.
Yeah,
so we've always been working together.
It's my daughter, who's 11, has just come off a Parks and Recreation binge. It's like my husband and I were like, oh yeah, Parks and Rec, you'll love it, you'll love it. And it was only when we get to the Ron and Tammy Swanson sex fest that we're like, oh, I forgot about this bit, and now my 11-year-old's watching it.
Yes, right.
Well, so yeah, but you know, authentic. So we're going to go with mind over body, but with a special caveat for bodies, I think, because you couldn't do your dance routine without
it. No, yeah, you have to have both. You have to have both. But it's nice to do it in a creative, enjoyable way rather than just going to the gym and being on a Stairmaster or something. It's nice to dance or, you know, I don't know, jog through a beautiful park, hike somewhere lovely.
See, I work out like a boy. I just, you know, I don't know. Well, I'll probably get in trouble for saying like a boy, but I need someone to, I go to the gym because I need someone to yell at me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I like Pilates. Do you ever take Pilates?
I do, but I find it really, I just find it a bit boring. Mm. I don't know.
I guess I'm really good friends with my Pilates teacher. Like, I sang at her wedding, you know, so yeah. Maybe that makes it less boring.
Yeah, I think with Pilates, I always find it, I never really am 100% sure that I'm actually doing it correctly.
I know, it feels, you know, too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like, well, I'm just laying here, but then you know, 2 weeks later, you look amazing.
But I would never feel, after all my years of going to the gym, I still wouldn't feel comfortable to be naked on an album cover. So if Pilates has given you that, then I am.
Well, if you get the right lighting, that also
helps. Oh, sure, shit. She looks amazing.
If you're enjoying Glamour Hey It's Okay, why don't you get involved? We would love to hear from you and your suggestions for our topics to debate. I don't know, maybe you and your friends have been chatting about something. Maybe you've seen something in Glamour Magazine that's sparked some conversation. Do get in touch at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk with your suggestions, and you never know, we may well be debating them very soon.
I already know the answer to this one, Megan Mullally. I think this is going to be a very short, agreeable topic. Is it okay to do exactly what you want on the weekend and absolutely nothing and not feel guilty about it?
Oh my gosh, I'm a master of doing nothing.
Well, yeah. You sounds like you read. See, that's not doing nothing.
Well, that's true. But, you know,
feeding your mind.
Yeah. Sometimes Nick and I, to relax, will do jigsaw puzzles. And
what, like the 1,000-piece ones?
Or 2,000 even.
Oh, man. What nerds.
Get crazy.
I love it.
I know. And we listen to audiobook while we're doing it. It's like two different parts of your brain, and they help to kind of balance it all out.
And it does sound quite heavenly, actually.
It's really nice, and you get sort of so absorbed in it, and time just flies by. And then we do these, we just do the dumbest, you know, most ridiculous puzzles we can find. And then we kind of get it, like I'm the costume designer. We kind of dress up and we kind of reenact the puzzle, and then we post them on our social media. Is it crazy? Yeah. So that's really fun. But I'm also a night person. So I could stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning on a regular basis, like a real musician schedule, and be completely fine with that. And so I don't like people who are judgy about, you know, sleeping late.
Yeah.
Because obviously if I stay up till 5 in the morning, I'm not getting up at 8.
Oh, no.
I'm not Donald Trump.
Oh, well, I mean, he doesn't need to sleep, though, does he?
Well, he's a...
He's like a lizard person.
Vampire, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I want to get back to this puzzle reenactment. What's the craziest one you've ever done?
Oh, my gosh. Well, some of the puzzles themselves are crazy, but then some of the reenactments are maybe crazier than the actual puzzle. Like, I did a series recently where we had 3 puzzles that were really girly, like angels and rainbows and unicorns and fairies. And so I did the 3 puzzles, and Nick gets progressively gayer and gayer and gayer till by the end.
It's very important in a husband, I find.
Yeah. And I was
at least a bit gay.
Yeah. And I was able to pull things because I have some things in my closet, you know, that would lend themselves. So I was able to dress him. And then, you know, by the, I'm discouraged of the first one, and then I'm alarmed in the second one, and by the third one, I just have my head down on the table. I've just given up.
Is it? But is it just? Do you, are you enjoying how much he gets into it, or is there a point where it actually disturbed?
No, I have to pose him. I have to pose, and I say, put your butt out, put your hand on your hip, and then hold the martini glass up and give a big smile, and I have to like really pose him.
You see, and they say that
I'm a little grumpy about it,
but they say that actors, you know, two actors together shouldn't work, but it does.
It does, yeah. If as long as he listens to me and just does exactly what I say.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. No, the thing I hate about, I do feel guilt. I mean, because sometimes I don't do nothing at the weekend. I've got a child and a dog, so that means I've got to get out.
Yeah.
But I really hate that small talk question on a Monday. How was your weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and you know, I know that you don't really care how my weekend was, but it also brings out a violent wave of shame when I haven't gone to an art gallery or done a run or made a cake or, you know,
to some important party with fancy people. Yeah, I mean, binge watching a show on Netflix is a very valuable way to spend a weekend.
It doesn't feel like something I should tell people I've done for 8 hours straight.
Yeah, but I know. You know. No, you should make it sound
I'm
like
I'm going to steal your puzzle thing. I'm just going to pretend I've done that. Dress up the dog. Make the dog pose for the puzzle.
We do have the dog in the puzzle sometimes.
Oh, man.
We've made the dog into a unicorn for one puzzle.
Oh, what kind of a dog?
A little poodle Bichon mix. She's amazing.
I've got a little Jack Russell Shih Tzu that looks like an Ewok.
Oh, cute.
But she doesn't like hats, so I think this plan is going to really
fall
down.
Well, I just held a yellow highlighter on her head for the horn.
Don't tell the RSPCA anyone. It's fine. The dog was into
it. I just held it. Yeah,
that's amazing. So what are you doing this weekend? You're performing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're performing on Thursday Royal Festival Hall, and then Saturday Palace Theater in and I've been to Manchester yet, so I'm excited.
You're gonna love it.
I know.
Good vintage shops.
Uh-oh.
In fact, I can tell you a couple.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna write this on my phone because I will definitely be going. And and then we're gonna stay here for like another week because we have friends here. And take a little day trip or two maybe. And
excellent.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I just wanted to say, like, if anybody is interested in seeing the show, you could go to nancyandbeth.com, and there are ticket links to take you straight to both shows, and also you can watch our music videos and see other pictures and get all the scoop on the band.
And you really are in for a treat, guys. I just can't get over the blend of the harmonies, just the way your voices sound together. It's so enjoyable no matter what the genre is.
Thanks, Jo.
So I'm really, really looking forward to actually seeing the show that I've read so much about as well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think it's such a fun show. I'm really happy with it and excited about it. I love doing it.
And so, and after that, Will and Grace will be seeing in September.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cannot wait.
Me too. Yeah. Or me neither. Yeah, I'm so excited to get started. I'm looking forward to that as my vacation.
In fact, some of your show, I wondered if there was a little bit of inspiration from Just Jack, sort of like the showbiz hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There is some showbiz exclamation point.
Cannot wait. Megan Mullally, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jo. This is great.
See you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.